Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Amen and hallelujah. We thank God for this day. Well, I read back this last week that since the beginning of the COVID crisis back in March, some of the most popular, most often Googled ideas or words have to do with God. And that's not really surprising. And with each new announcement of an increase in cases or anything like that, with each new bump in numbers, those searches about God just go up again. People are asking factual questions, things they want to know about God. People are asking heartfelt questions, questions that are Googled have to do with, does God love me? Does God care about what's going on? People are asking some hard questions, wondering where is God and is God in all of this at all? And no matter what kind of question that they're asking, the reality is that in any season, in disturbance, in trial, in hardship, in confusion, it is natural that our minds and the minds of people all over the world turn toward God, because God is the one who put eternity in our hearts. And we're created to think about Him and to turn to Him as an answer and a solution when things are difficult. And here is a truth that I know, that God loves every single one of those people who are asking questions about Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but will have eternal, everlasting life. Without a shadow of a doubt, if you are watching or paying any attention this morning, I want you to know that God loves you. And if you're seeking Him and you're asking questions about Him, He loves you. Here's another truth that I know. And that is that God wants every single one of those people who are asking questions about Him to become a disciple of His Son and their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire is that they will become disciples, that they will be baptized into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, and that they will be taught to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And God wants us to be the people who are making disciples. He wants us to be disciples who are making disciples of everyone who is questioning and everyone who is seeking and everyone who is searching. And right now, people are seeking God on Google. They're asking questions. But here's a new reality, is that by and large, they are not seeking God at church. They're not asking questions of the church. And the reality is, that was already true before the COVID crisis, before sheltering in place, before social distancing. People were not looking to the church for their answers to their questions about God. Yet we, and I say we because I include myself in it, have been trained and taught to spend a lot of time investing in buildings and investing in services and doing our best with all of that, and then sitting around and wondering, where are they? And why didn't they come? And one of the things that God has done in this season is to shake us up to the reality that people aren't coming to us even though they are searching for God. And so one answer that I can be sure of and confident is that if they're not searching for us, then maybe I should go to them. Because Jesus said, when He gave that great commission to make disciples, the first word in the commission is, go. And see, we've all been trained to invite people to church, That's what we do. We feel good about a conversation. If we could have a conversation with someone and say, well, why don't you come to church with me? We've been trained that if you build it, they will come. We got our theology from a movie, I guess. But I think we need another blueprint. And thankfully, there is one. It's very, very old. In fact, it's so old that it's new to a lot of folks. And I believe when we follow it, that God will connect us to the people who are asking the questions. Because He loves them. And He wants them to become disciples of Jesus. Shane did a great job of starting our series on the blueprint for discipleship last week. And we find this blueprint in God's Word. We see Jesus following this blueprint. We see the early church following this blueprint. I'm aware more and more of churches around the world who are following this blueprint. And I'm really thankful that God has given us a blueprint to follow. Because so many of you over the last couple of years have bought into this idea, this vision that we need to be disciples who are making disciples. But a very real question that you have is, I don't know how to do that. I want to do that. I hear what you're saying. I want to be a part of something like that. How do I do that? Well, God's given us a blueprint. He's shown us how. And it can be described in a lot of ways. The way we're describing it in this series is just four words. Share, connect, minister, and disciple. And really, this morning, since I wasn't here last week to kick this series off, Shane covered the first word, share. Did a great job with that. My goal was to cover the second word, connect, but I never got there in this sermon because there's just some things I want to talk about kind of in an overview before we get there next week and look at that second word of connect. Because I just want us to see and be aware that this idea that God loves everyone and that He wants them to be disciples of His Lord, of His Son Jesus. And He's given the church a commission to go and to make disciples. We can see from Jesus how He did that. Because that is what He did here on earth. He made disciples. It is the plan that He put in place. It is the model that He gave us. It is the blueprint that He designed that took the gospel to the entire world. Jesus followed and gave us that blueprint. How did He do that? How did He share, connect, minister, disciple? We'll just keep those words up there. He shared with His words. He shared with His works. We've talked about those kinds of things a lot. Jesus spoke. He acted. He shared with people in that way. And when people listened to Him, when they started following Him, when they came to belief in Him, when they accepted Him and His message, Jesus connected them to people. He connected them to Himself. He connected them to this group of disciples in a relationship. And then in that relationship, Jesus then started training them to be ministers. And then He commissioned them to do this. You go follow this blueprint. You go make some more disciples. And so those apostles, those earliest disciples, they just went and did what Jesus asked them to do. And the only way they knew to do it was the way that Jesus had done it with them. And so when we look at the early church, we can see this blueprint. We'll just take Acts chapter 2, just the very first sermon that Peter preached as an example. Peter got up that morning, the Holy Spirit started preaching. He started sharing the message of Jesus. Now, we see it done not just in preaching. We see it done in one-on-one. We see it done in groups. We see it done in a lot of different ways. But that day, Peter shared through preaching. And 3,000 people were convicted. They repented. They were baptized. They believed. And so what did those 12 and that 120 do? They started connecting those 3,000 into relationships with Jesus and with this church that God was building and forming. And then they started training them to minister. And we see that with with an issue that came up in the church, that there were some widows who were not getting taken care of, and there was a need to minister. And so what did they do? They said, the apostles didn't do it. No, they had shared and they were connecting, and now they trained a group of guys to minister. And those guys took responsibility, but you know there's only seven mentioned. You know there was a lot more work to be done than those seven. Those seven organized it, I think. But there were other folks who were involved in the actual doing of the ministry. And then when persecution came, what happened? They got scattered, and they had to go out in other places. And what did they do when they went to other places? They started making disciples, following this blueprint. They went into from Jerusalem into Judea and into Samaria and into the whole world, which is just what Jesus told them was going to happen. We see that blueprint with Jesus. We see that blueprint with the early church. But I look around the world, and I want to just share with you places that we have a connection where this blueprint is being followed to share, connect, minister, disciple. In the Med Rim today, and we have been blessed to become a partner church with great gospel work that is being done in the Med Rim with refugees who are still coming out of Muslim countries into Greece. And Christian missionaries go into those camps and they share Jesus. I mean, that's what they're doing. There's teams there who are just going into these refugee camps and they're sharing the message of Jesus. And they don't ask, would you like to come to church with me? Because there's not a church to go to. What they instead ask is, would you like to discover who God is? Could I tell you a story about Jesus? And then when people respond to that message and when they accept Jesus, and what they do is they just begin to connect them to other followers there in the proximity of their camp. And small groups form and small churches form in those camps. And they eat together and they pray together and they worship together and they fellowship together and they bond together in relationship based on the Lord Jesus. And then what do? They learn to minister. Andy Johnson shared with us just a few weeks ago a specific situation they ran into where the missionaries were having a hard time getting all of the people fed. And so what did they do? It looked just like Acts. What did they do? They discovered, oh, wait a minute, there's a better way to do this kind of ministry. Some of these new Christians can become the ministers. And so the missionaries just got the food, got it to those Christians in the camps, and they started cooking it and they started distributing it and being ministers. And then they just go around and they just share and make more disciples. That's God's blueprint for discipleship. That's happening in the Med Rim where we're connected. It's happening in Guelph, Canada, where we're connected with the Rollins. And the Rollins have a new partner. His name is Paul Rasmussen. And when things hit with COVID, Paul gathered 30 young adults. And he said, we got to do something different. We're not connected with people. We don't have a chance to get connected with people. Let's do something different. He pulled together 30 young adults. And about half of them caught his vision. So I think he said 16 of them ended up participating in this. But what they did online just over the next month, through a tool that they used to pray for other people, they prayed for 500 people, and they started 25 Discovery Bible studies out of that in that 1 month. And that's just continued as the months have gone on. That's God's blueprint for discipleship. This is exactly what they were doing, just doing it online rather than in person. And my point for sharing all of this with you is just that we have a mission from God. We have a mission that comes from the very heart of God, that He loves people and wants them to be saved and to follow His Son, Jesus. We have a mission to be disciples who are making disciples, and God has shown us how to do it. And it can be done in any situation. It can be done in any circumstance. It can be done under any government. It can be done in the middle of any disease. It can be done in person or online. God's way of making disciples and bringing people to His Son Jesus can be done and has been done for thousands of years in every language and culture and people and place. And we can do it right here. We can do it right now with everything that is going on. We can share our lives with people. We have to be creative about that right now, but we can share our lives with people. And we can share Jesus and his message of good news. We can then connect those people. And again, we have to be creative about it right now, but we can connect those people to Jesus and to each other in some ways that they can have a relationship. And then we can grow them and train them to be ministers in Jesus' name to the people who they are around. And then they can just go and make more disciples. That's the way that God spreads his message. That's the way that God builds his church. He did it in the first century. He's doing it in the 21st century. And I believe that God is orchestrating things right now in America for people to be asking some questions about him and to be seeking him and wondering about him. And he needs a church, and he needs disciples that he can use to answer those questions and point those folks to their Father who loves them. And so I'm thankful. I can sincerely say that I'm thankful that God put me in some places and in connection with some people where this was shared with me. I'm thankful that he gave me an opportunity to be back here with you at a time in the life of this church where we were ready to think a little differently and hear some new things and try some new ways. I'm glad and thankful that without any knowledge on my part, God was doing this with some people that we already knew and loved, and he's connecting us to folks around the world. And I'm thankful, and again, I've chosen to use that word, I'm thankful that God can take what was meant for harm and he can work it out for good. And he can use it to help refine his church, point us to what he wants us to be about. And so I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the mission that he has given us. I'm thankful for you. And if you're interested and willing to be a part of that mission, right now, in the middle of everything that's going on, I want to give you an opportunity and an avenue for you to be involved. A few months ago, we started something we're calling Disciple-Making Communities. And we do one in person. These groups meet every other week. We do one in person and we do one online, and so you could participate in either way. And in our disciple-making communities, we have this goal and this purpose and this mission. And that is to help each other live out the great commandment. Remember what the great commandment is? To love God, to love other people. In our disciple-making community, we want to help each other live out the great commandment in such a way that we get the opportunity to live out the Great Commission, to go make disciples, baptize, teach people to obey Jesus. That's what we do. We meet twice a month, again, in person, online. We have about 12 folks who are part of those who are just learning this blueprint. We're learning some tools that we can use. We're encouraging each other, challenging each other, holding each other accountable for us to be obedient to Jesus. And so if that's something you are interested in, if that's something you'd like to invest in, I hope that you will come and find me, that you will email me, call me, text me, find some way to get in touch with me so that I can tell you more about those, so that you can take advantage of the times. That's what I want us to do. I want us to, we sang that in just a song just a minute ago. No, it wasn't sung. It was in the verse you read. It referenced we're in a time. We need to take advantage of the time. And I want us to do that. Because people are asking questions about God. And God has given us a way to connect with them and bring them to his son Jesus. Because God is building his church. God never, ever stops building his church. There's not any obstacle that anyone or anything could ever put in place that would stop God from building his church. There's not any disease that could ever ravage the world that would stop God from building his church. There is not any government or people in the world who have ever been able to stop God from building his church. Do you believe that? We know that to be true. We see it through history. We see it now. Our God reigns and he rules and he is over all and he is good. And he's got a mission and he's got a purpose. And he went to the greatest length he could go to, and that is to sacrifice his very own son so that everyone who is seeking him would find him and be a part of his church, his family, that will last forever. I just want us to end with some words from Scripture about this house that God is building. Together, Ephesians says, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone of this house is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple, a holy building for the Lord. 1 Corinthians. But you are God's building. And whoever is building on this foundation must be careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, the Lord Jesus Christ. From 1 Peter. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's house. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor, and you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual house. Folks, God is building a house, and it's going to stand. There's no storm that's going to shake it. You've been blessed to be a part of God's house. He wants you to bring others into the shelter of his house. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that your house will stand forever. You have made promises and decrees throughout Scripture that have all come to pass. And we believe, we have staked our life on the fact that you will keep this promise and your house will stand. And it will stand forever. Fire and hail and snow and wind and rain and storm and flood, everything else that we could possibly imagine has come against it and will come against it. And yet your house and all who are part of your house will remain. So we thank you for that truth, for that reality that we live in. We are your house. Father, we want to be a house of prayer. Thank you that you are teaching us right now to depend on you more than ever. That you're teaching us to seek you and your face and your help and your knowledge and your discernment and your discretion and your direction. Father, we need you in every possible way. Surround us, O Lord. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side. So we seek you. Thank you that you are building us into a house of prayer. Thank you that you are building us into a house that just continues to add rooms. Thank you that Jesus dwells in our house, in our hearts. Thank you that he is the cornerstone of this house. Thank you that this house has rooms all over the world, in every tribe and language and culture and people. Thank you that there's just always room for more in your house. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is our foundation, our cornerstone, the rock on which we build our lives, the rock under which we take shelter. In Jesus' name, Amen.